Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, your headquarters for building a six-figure plus e-commerce business. I'm your host, e-commerce entrepreneur, and Jeff Bezos wannabe, Andrew Derry. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. Thank you for joining us today on the show. Today we're going to be talking about a decision every e-commerce entrepreneur has to make at some point. Do you go with a hosted cart, like Shopify or BigCommerce or one of the other ones, or do you go with a self-hosted cart like Magento or something else where you're controlling the code? Interesting topic. And with me to debate the issue is Mr. Bill D'Alessandro. Bill, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Excited to talk about this. I've been down the road and around the corner on this issue. So
I've been all over as well. And it's interesting because we're both coming at it from different perspectives here, which I think will play out well. But before we dive into the meaty section today, got to do a first sale shout out. And this one's going out to Ryan Hills from downundermodelaircraft.com. And he writes in and said, I just want to let you know that my website finally had its first bulk order. I just made a sale for 8 model aircraft, my biggest order and profit yet. Thanks so much for all the great tips and advice you offer on the podcast. Thanks a ton. Ryan, that's awesome, man. Very cool. I'm kind of an airplane geek myself and always wanted to get one of those. So I don't know if these are the ones that you're flying around, the huge, massive gas-powered ones, but I could have a lot of fun buzzing those around my neighborhood. So anyway, best of luck with that and congrats on the first sale. That's especially the first bulk sale. Getting those huge ones that roll in is really exciting. And I have a reader question from Patrick May from Rocking Micros. And Patrick says, we farm and sell high-end micro greens, which are really tiny little veggies, micro herbs and edible flowers to many Memphis restaurants. I was wondering if someone could throw a few pointers my way in regards to selling high-end produce online. And Bill, I'm going to let you take the first stab at this. What do you think of the business model?
Oh, that's a tough one. Obviously, the huge problem here is, or not problem, but the hurdle to get over is the shipping. And the expiry dates and stuff going bad. I also don't know. This is a market I know nothing about. But is there an e-commerce market for this? I'm not sure. I have been very surprised in the past at how many things there is an e-commerce market for. One thing that might be interesting to try is to, obviously you got to pick like your dried stuff, the stuff that will last, is maybe throw them up on Amazon to try to gauge the demand. You know, just do a couple merchant fulfilled listings and see if you get any orders through Amazon. That would be a good way to gauge to see if there's an e-commerce market for this type of thing. And then if you decide that there is, then you can maybe invest in building a cart or and a website and then maybe going to FBA. But even just a couple merchant fulfilled listings would be a good way to gauge it.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting way to test the market. My initial reaction, Patrick, was it sounds really tough. Anything perishable, obviously you're going to have huge costs and logistical issues with getting it there freshly. And you know, if you're selling really high-end expensive stuff, it might work. But for micro greens and little vegetables, I'm guessing, I could be wrong, but I'm guessing the profit margin isn't there to be able to ship them overnight on ice all the time. So that's could be tough. If you can get over that problem, it could work well, but definitely think through those issues before you do.
You know, not to discourage you too much, though, Patrick, because we had a guy in our private forum. He was selling freeze-dried rats on dry ice for people to feed to their snakes online, and he was doing pretty well. So it can be done.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't want to discourage you at all. Just that's the big one thing I had to think through. So today's topic, hosted versus self-hosted carts. And this is something where I don't necessarily want to say people get religiously entrenched in their opinions, but it's a big dividing line between store owners. And just a quick definition, so a hosted cart is going to be a SaaS cart, a software as a service, a subscription-based cart where the entire cart is hosted on someone else's servers like Shopify or BigCommerce, and you pretty much log in and run your cart through a web browser. You don't have to deal with any server configuration. You don't have to deal with maintaining the code, keeping things secure for the most part. So a little easier, but probably a little bit less flexibility. Whereas a self-hosted cart like Magento, you download the code, you're responsible for installing it. You or someone on your team is responsible for installing the software, keeping it updated, keeping it secure, et cetera, et cetera. So Bill, you know, you've always been, which side are you coming from on this?
I am coming from, I have come from both sides. So my journey on this is when I launched my first business, KP Elements, I launched it with a cart called Foxy Cart. And Foxy Cart is sort of this weird, weird hybrid of hosted and self-hosted, rather. Mm-hmm. So you have to host essentially all of the everything until they click checkout. And they provide you some JavaScript libraries. But for all intents and purposes, it's basically a self-hosted cart. It's because you got to run your own server, et cetera. So I did that for a while, and it was just a pain in the butt. Like, the server would go down. Like, you've got to know about, you know, if you got a big spike, you've got to know how to scale your server up, or even if you've selected a hoster that can scale. There's just, there's a lot more to it than just configuring a cart. You also have to be a sysadmin and know how to run the server that runs that cart. And also, when I bought Nurture My Body, they were on a self-hosted cart called Xcart. Same deal. I basically needed to have a sysadmin who I was on call, who I could call and say, something's broken, or, you know, we're having a ton of traffic. How can we scale up? Or even, I want to change this, you know, help me. But the flip side of that was I could customize it totally with Xcart, you know, and Foxycart. Everything you want to change, the checkout process, you want to build some crazy new loyalty thing that awards people points, you have total control. But after going through all that, when we redid Nurture My Body, I took it off Xcart and we went to BigCommerce. And I got to say, I've been so much happier. just so much. Just, it just never breaks, you know, like, you trade off some customizability for total stability. And that's why I'm a hosted cart guy from now on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't yet made the transition to a hosted cart, planning on it in the very near future. And I've always come from hosted carts exclusively. So I started off on Zencart. I don't know if you've ever had any experience with that, Bill, but Zencart is kind of, it was great when I started. I learned a lot. It was pretty easy to customize as far as self-hosted carts go, but definitely starting to show its age pretty severely here. And I don't necessarily think it's even being, I'm not sure. I don't want to speak for the Zencart crowd, but definitely kind of an older cart. And then migrated to Magento, launched the trolling motor store on Magento, and also migrated Right Channel to that. And it's, you know, it was good in some sense, but we'll get into the pros and cons, but that's my background. I've always been on the hosted side. And I think it's interesting looking at the community. We did a poll in the community to say, what cart are you on? And running some quick numbers, Will, if you're a private forum member, we'll link up to this poll in the forum in the show notes. 52% of forum members were on hosted carts, and 48% hosted their own carts. So almost just about a 50-50 split. And the big three, the number one was Magento. Magento was the number one used cart. Number two was Shopify, and then BigCommerce was number three. So kind of interesting landscape. So I'd love to kind of just take it from both sides, Bill. Let's have a little love fest at first. Like, what do you love about your hosted solution? You got into a few things at the top, but maybe get a little more granular. What are the things that you really like about it?
The headline is, I love that I sleep well at night. Because it just never goes down. I mean, rarely, you know, BigCommerce or Shopify will have scheduled maintenance. Very, very rarely. But it just never goes down. You don't have, like, if you're on Oprah, it won't go down. And that peace of mind is really great. I also enjoy the peace of mind knowing that I haven't misconfigured anything. Like, I haven't made, because you don't have full access to the guts of it, you can't really screw anything up. And you've got BigCommerce kind of, or Shopify kind of looking over your shoulder. They've forced you into a little bit of a box, but that box is best practices. They take care of things like, it's automatically optimized for SEO, like just the structure of their pages. They also do testing on checkout processes to see what converts best across their entire base of stores. So there's just a bunch that you don't have to think about. Not that you don't have to do conversion optimization. You definitely still have a lot of conversion optimization, but the larger strokes are already taken care of for you because these people are professional e-commerce cart hosters. So they know how to do the infrastructure. They know generally how to design a checkout flow, et cetera. And also, there's just, most things are built in. You know, you don't, if you're doing a self-hosted cart, you might have to build loyalty, or you might have to build something like that. But for most, like BigCommerce, Shopify, they've got couponing, they've got most of the basic functionality is really there and is very mature because these are funded companies. There's a product manager managing the code and the roadmap. It's dialed in. And then anything that's not dialed in, at this point, Shopify and BigCommerce both have very good APIs and active developer communities. So then you can plug in, instead of kind of an amateurly developed, you know, add-on for Magento that's open source and who knows where it came from and who maintains it. Typically, the folks that maintain the add-ons for Shopify and BigCommerce are also businesses themselves and have a vested interest in making sure that code quality is high. Plus, you're paying for it. So you have support, things like that. So it's just a little bit, it feels a little bit more professional to me all around, and I don't have to have a developer on staff.
Yeah, especially for small teams, developers are tough. Because I mean, if you're big enough, you got a developer on staff, that's one thing. But if you're kind of the majority of our listeners are people like us with either solopreneurs or fairly small agile teams with some contractors. And sometimes you get a great contractor, and sometimes you have someone on Odesk who maybe they pick up the email or get back to you quickly, and maybe they don't. You know, maybe it's 2-3 days or never when you hear back from them. And obviously that kind of goes into building good relationships with your programmers, but it's another failure point. For me, so maybe I'll talk about my self-hosted solution and what I loved. And again, this is Zenkart and mostly Magento in the last 2 or 3 years. I loved the full customization on it. If you wanted to, you could customize anything. So for example, like at Right Channel Radios, we sell obviously, radios and antennas, and the shipping gets really complicated because if you ship a radio, it's like $12. You know, if you ship a radio and antenna, it's like $20. If you ship a radio and a small accessory, it's still 12. There's no incremental. And so as opposed to using UPS stuff, we had to write a custom shipping plugin that could calculate, okay, hey, what type of product is this? And what are the shipping quotes? So that was really nice. It's open source. So the community, there's going to be usually a lot of open plugins that are available. Some are, a lot of them are paid, but there's also a lot of free ones, which it can also be a bad one potentially if you don't vet it and you install some stuff that wreaks havoc with your site. One of the things I love about the hosted carts as well is you can set up a staging site really easily, which I could be wrong, but I don't think there's a whole lot of hosted carts that do that. So if you want to make changes, you can have a staging server, see how those look, see how, any big rollouts affect everything, and then migrate those over. And especially when we've done redesigns, full on redesigns, it allows you to be able to develop your site independently, and then using a little bit of trickery with like the local HT host file, pretty much trick your computer into loading your new site with your actual domain name to make sure everything's working, to make sure SSL is SSL wouldn't work in that case, but to make sure all your redirects are working and it works really nicely. And then finally, it's free, right? I mean, like depending on how you do it, it's free on the surface. You're running Magento. Magento is a pig with resources. So this isn't the case for all carts, but I mean, we pay a pretty hefty bill to Rackspace every month. But on the flip side, it's, I'm not paying for the source code itself, which is nice. So those are the things that, at least from my perspective, are really nice from a self-hosted cart solution. Bill, you ready for the roasting time?
Yeah.
I think this is what we'll probably enjoy the most, griping about our carts. So obviously it sounds like you've been pretty happy with the hosted, but what's been some of the downsides of going over to a hosted solution?
Yeah, I have been happy overall, but there are certainly things that really grind me. And it all comes down to, the headline of this whole discussion is you trade stability and professionalism for customization. So with a hosted cart, if you don't like the way they do something, too bad. If they don't offer the ability to create a buy one, get one coupon, too bad you don't get to offer buy one, get one coupons. If they don't offer, the ability to do a shipping rule, like I just ran into this with BigCommerce the other day. I was getting a lot of fraudulent orders from Pakistan, shipping to Pakistan. I get no legitimate orders shipping to Pakistan. So I said, I just don't want to ship to Pakistan at all. Like I want to reject all those orders outright. BigCommerce doesn't have a way to do that. If you're using a self-hosted cart, you could do that in 5 minutes just with a check. You could just get in the code and just do one little check for Pakistan and then reject the order. So it's stuff like that, like little things that seem like they're so, so basic, but because they would have to roll this feature out, not just you, but to everyone that uses BigCommerce, they don't have these little features that are kind of unique. They've got such a big roadmap that those features don't get in. So that can get really frustrating. I know another frustration people have with Shopify is, I mentioned earlier, they optimize your checkout process, but the flip side of it is you just have to take their optimizations rammed down your throat. Like the checkout process is pretty much the checkout process. And I know Shopify, I think, is pretty notorious for having not great customization of the checkout process. You just can't do the things that are non-standard. So before you go to a hosted cart, I would really recommend signing up for the trial, like walking through the checkout process, like thinking about all the little edge cases that you want to do that you might not be able to do. Like loyalty is another thing. For BigCommerce, they don't have built-in loyalty. There is a loyalty app, but I don't like the way that it works. And the reason I don't like the way that it works is because it's still an external app. So it's sort of JavaScript in on top of your store. And I think it looks cheesy, but there's no way to more deeply integrate it unless BigCommerce does it. So you end up with either sometimes like either a janky solution because BigCommerce or Shopify doesn't support it in the core code, or not being able to do it at all, which is frustrating.
I guess you also, you do have the option of probably developing your own app for BigCommerce, right? Like you probably could, if you wanted to make the investment, write up the app, have it coded and bring it in. But that it's probably more work to do that than it would be to tweak your own hosted, your own self-hosted solution.
Definitely. And even though, but even if you build an app, like there are just limitations to the software architecture. Like there are just things you can't do, you know, like you can't edit. Like if they only offer certain coupon types, as I alluded to earlier, you can't build an app to bake in buy one, get one into BigCommerce if that's not a discount. You know what I'm saying? That's like a core way the cart functions. And if you don't like the core way the cart functions, there's not a lot you can do. Like the loyalty apps, they're basically, it's JavaScript on top of the site. And it's basically a combination of scraping what's on the cart and using API calls to see which orders are placed to them to figure out how many points it is. And so you have this kind of like weird JavaScript popover that when you click, show me my points, it like is a little popover that's loading it from an external site. So even if you were to invest all this developer time, there are just limitations because it's a hosted cart.
Yeah, interesting. And just to play devil's advocate, one nice thing potentially about that, and Drew and I were talking about this in the episode about whether you should know how to code or not, is granted, yeah, there are some frustration things, but there are sometimes too, and Bill, I know you've got a little bit of a coding background, where as a coder, you can tend to tweak ad nauseum, and you can spend time programming and tweaking things that really, that time is probably not the most best utilized use of your time relative to marketing or other initiatives. And so it does limit you, but sometimes people, you know, you hear like, sometimes you can be most creative or most efficient within a framework that limits you. And I think sometimes that can be the case as well.
True.
Yeah. Any other roasts for the hosted cart before I go into my diatribe on Magento?
No, it's all just the customization is what you miss out on. So, and now you can go about how the customization is a pain in the butt.
Here we go. So things that I, and especially this, a lot of this is, some of this is focused at Magento. A lot of it's just open source in general, but you touched on this too. If there's a problem, it's 100% on me. And I can't tell you the number of times, especially in the early days, where my site would crash and I would frantically be trying to dig into the code to Google, how do I show error? You know, how do I debug this? And it's just, you've got people coming to your site and it's really, really stressful, because even if you do have a fairly attentive developer, unless they're on staff, which I don't have one on staff, it's going to take them hours. I mean, a good response time for a competent developer is going to be a couple hours at least, you know, because they're not going to be able to drop everything they're doing and come help you usually. So that can be really stressful. There's definitely a learning curve. I remember when I started with Magento, and again, talked about this with the episode with Drew, it was a solid 4 to 6 weeks just to start to feel like I knew the platform. And even today with our platform, making design changes in Magento is a nightmare. The ZenCart was much simpler, probably wasn't as powerful, but at least it was simpler. Magento, you've got to deal with XML files. You've got to change like 3 files at least to change layouts and certain things. That was a lot of work. One thing that's tough is I can't have my team easily make changes. With Magento, If there is a way you can install plugins that's not too crazy, but it does involve some risk with Magento. With Shopify and with BigCommerce or any other hosted solution, at least you know, hey man, if I have one of my team members go out and install a plugin, it's not going to bring the system down. There's some level of vetting for most of the plugins that they do if they're doing a good job. It made it harder for me to empower my team members to iterate quickly. Upgrades on Magento are an absolute nightmare. Would not wish that upon, you know, just about anybody. It's just crazy trying to get those things, that platform, updated. And even with ZenCart, we were looking at upgrading that. But the problem you get to with upgrades with self-hosted solutions is there's always a best set of best practices for customizing a cart. Usually they'll have like, hey, here's the core elements of it. And if you want to use a template, only store these things here. And if you want to add additions and plugins, only store those things here. But inevitably, unless you were like the most disciplined coder in the world, you end up tweaking a little bit of the core component here. And then you tweak something here. And then before you know it, you've got this Frankenstein monster of a cart where when you upgrade and you install all those new core updates, you erase a lot of your changes and you've got a huge either problem with your new cart or a massive audit you have to go through to figure out what's going to break before you go through. You know, I think security and PCI compliance are an issue. I think it's maybe less of an issue. I think even Shopify and BigCommerce, I don't think right now they store credit cards. But if you want to do that in your own system, all of that onus on the security is you. And you're also responsible for your own backups. Not a huge thing, but you know, you start sleeping and not paying attention with backups, you can wake up one day with your entire business wiped out if you're not careful about that. So I think that's a longer list for me than the pros.
It goes both ways. It really does.
It does. I mean, you teed this up perfectly, Bill. And the ultimate question is, obviously, you're on a hosted platform. I'm getting ready to move to a hosted platform in the near future. And is the control of having complete control over a platform worth the hassle for independent merchants? Maybe, but I think both you and I definitely lean towards the, you know what, go with a hosted solution and spend your time and resources and money and focus on things that are going to bring more value to your business.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Hmm. Any strategies for fending off the Magento jihadists who are going to come after me for this one?
Just ask them when the last time was their site broke, and they will tell you it was recently.
Perfect. I know, to Magento's credit, it is a really powerful, great platform. I know there's, again, it's the most used platform in the form. And so don't want to knock it too hard, but for my situation, definitely not going to be what we're going to be using on a long-term basis. So
yeah, it's a great piece of software and it's so established, but that's the bad part about it is that the code is so old and the code is so big and so complex that I've heard the advice given to me that if you're going to launch on Magento, you better have a full-time developer. And if you don't have a full-time developer, don't do Magento.
Yeah, agreed. Bill, awesome. As usual, it's been a pleasure. Looking forward to chatting next time. And thanks so much, buddy.
Sure thing.
That's going to do it for this week. But if you're interested in launching your own e-commerce store, download my free 55-page ebook on niche selection and getting started. And if you're a bit more experienced, look into the e-commerce fuel private forum. It's a vetted community for store owners with at least 4,000 in monthly sales or industry professionals with at least a year or more experience in the e-commerce space. You can learn more about both the ebook and the form at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.